This week on the Canadian Tech Podcast, we talk about Microsoft, Apple, and Razer's new hardware. The CRTC is reviewing Videotron's net neutrality violation, Apple poaching QNX developers, and the Nintendo Switch. That's all next, and more on the Canadian Tech Podcast. The Canadian Tech Podcast is sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. Olio are the planners, designers, and developers of the apps used by some of Canada's biggest brands. Find out what Olio can do for you at oliodigitallabs.com.
Welcome to the Canadian Tech Podcast, episode 92 for Sunday, October 30th, 2016, sponsored by Olio Digital Labs. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Well, Derek, another week. It's actually Halloween weekend, so we have not too many tricks, but a lot of treats. Although some of these companies, we might accuse them of giving us some tricks instead.
I think you mean happy tricks. Some of them not so much, perhaps. But
exactly.
Yeah, no, some good tricks, some bad tricks, and it was a heck of a week. So we've got a lot to talk about.
Exactly. Okay, we're gonna zoom through it. Okay, two of our favorite big companies had hardware events this week: Microsoft and Apple. Microsoft had theirs first on Wednesday, so we're gonna go with theirs. They had quite the event, Derek. They unveiled some Windows updates, some amazing new hardware. One could be forgiven for thinking if you popped in halfway through the live stream, you were at an Apple event. Where do you want to start?
Let's start with software because that runs on the hardware. So a few things happening here. Windows is going to be getting a major update next spring. That update to Windows 10 is going to do a whole bunch of things. They're calling it the Creators Update, and I can easily see why. It's going to bring improvements in 4K gaming, an expanded vision for mixed reality, which is what Microsoft's calling augmented reality. They're doing crazy things like showing off tech. It's not ready yet, but tech that will allow you to walk around an object, scan it, and bring it into an app that will be ready called Paint 3D, which is a new spin on the old classic Windows Paint, and will actually let you create 3D or digitize, paint, draw 3D objects in Paint 3D, export them to a new community site called Remix 3D, or an existing actually community site called Remix 3D, export those things to... No, wait, sorry. Take things from Minecraft, also share them on Remix 3D, and then take those things from Minecraft, bring them into Paint 3D, and 3D print them.
Exactly.
Mic drop.
Well, and again, it's a perfect example of showing how this technology, which was previously 3D printing, which is previously in hacker spaces, and you know, I won't say it's overly complex, but it did require jumping through some hoops and bells and whistles. It's becoming more and more mainstream. You can buy quite a few 3D printers now, and this will certainly just accelerate the adoption there.
Absolutely. Paired with that, a lot of people like SketchUp. Hasn't gotten a lot of love lately, apparently from the developers, but you'll be able to take your 3D SketchUp models, bring those to the Paint 3D community as well. So that's pretty cool. On top of that, what I gathered from the video was that it looks like they're still pushing forward on some sort of Microsoft mobile platform. Windows 10 phone seems dead in the water, stagnant, something. We know they pulled the plug on the hardware, but did you watch the full keynote or at least some of the highlights?
No, I watched some bits of it, and I have to agree. There's definitely some stuff there if they're maybe leveraging a few years down the line what's going to happen. One of the other things they mentioned about Windows 10 was, of course, they were going to have a more unified messaging.
Yes.
So Android phones and Windows phones, similar to what we do now with iOS and and macOS, where if you get a text on your phone, you also get it, and you can reply on your laptop. And you know, now myself and my wife, we have a all Apple ecosystem for that at least, and it's very handy to do that. You know, if you don't have your phone with you, then but you're on your Mac or whatever, it's nice to be able to do that. Also, if you get into a long conversation, I have fat fingers. I hate typing all that on the phone all the time. It's nice to be able to switch over to a keyboard and away I go. So this will be good. I agree. This is going to be a really good feature as well.
Yeah, and that's actually also, going to hang on. That's going to work with Android phones as well.
Android and Windows phones. So that'll be good.
And,
so it's still not a universal thing. It's still not universal.
It's as close as you can get, because ultimately they would have to put their own messaging app together for iOS, and then that defeats the whole purpose, right?
Exactly. So also, you mentioned gaming. They're going to be they demonstrated a new VR headset. Can be integrated with HoloLens to create a new mixed reality experience. It's $299 US.
Starting at $299 US, Dell, HP, Lenovo, Asus, and Acer have signed on as production partners, so that's neat. And it's going to have inside-out tracking sensors so that you can use, you can have boundary tracking, so and get, therefore, room scale, some sort of room scale functionality here, just like the HTC Vive. And lately, the Oculus Rift. Although, quick side note, I did hear that the Oculus Rift's new room scale functionality is not good. But anyway, we're not going to talk about that. I just wanted to. I heard about it, read about it, so I just wanted to mention that. Yeah. So that was the first bit of hardware. And
now let's. I'll let you lead off with your new favorite piece of hardware. Man. You're very excited. About this.
I kind of just wish it wasn't running Windows, but at the same time, oh my gosh. So
this is what Derek wants for Christmas, kids.
This is what I want for Christmas, running Linux Mint. Which I could probably put on it, but that would completely defeat the purpose.
What a waste.
I know. So a stunning all-in-one computer called the Surface Studio. Called the Surface Studio, no doubt for a reason. This is not a mass market product, but man, it's gorgeous. It has a 28-inch screen. It's only 12.5 millimeters thick. It's 3:2 aspect ratio, which is a little bit weird, but it's still really, really nice. 13.5 million pixels, so that's 63% more than a 4K TV. I guess that would make it even more than a 5K. I'm not sure. You're, according to Panos Panay, who was unveiling it, the only thing you're not going to be able to see on the screen is a pixel.
Yeah, I love that.
Big words. So it's gorgeous. It is clearly designed for replacing drafting tables, canvases, AutoCAD.
I don't think you mentioned what else the screen does.
Not yet. Hang on. Wacom tablets, that sort of thing. And one of the big reasons it is because if you pre-order it before December 1st, it'll come with this. If not, you have to buy it extra. But it comes with something called the Surface Dial. The Surface Dial, if you use it with a non-supported touchscreen device, you can still use it. You just have to use it on your desk. But the pièce de résistance here is actually being able to put the Surface Dial on the screen. And then whatever the developer intends pops up around the dial. So some of the demo videos show like a color palette or different tools or any number of things. Zoom in, zoom out. It looks like you can push the dial down and get a nice little clunk out of it to change the functionality. Again, depending on what the developer has done. You got to watch the videos to really appreciate where this thing is going and where Microsoft is going. They are very clearly, and I've heard this many times this week, but I agree, very clearly trying to scoop up a lot of the creators, artists, developers even, that Apple's no longer catering to in their quest for mainstream.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, the all-in-one, the Surface Studio starts at $29.99 US. So you're probably looking at least 4 grand Canadian, and that's one of the reasons why this is not mass market. But when you consider what you get, the price is actually not that bad. The surface dial start is $200, probably going to be like 279 Canadian, something like that. There is one, and the specs aren't amazing, but this is not intended to run Duke Nukem Forever at 70 frames a second. Like that's not the point of this. So, but
I
you
will
can
smack
get.
anyone that runs Duke Nukem Forever on this wonderful piece
Okay,
of hardware. I'm just
I'll
saying.
just Crysis. There we go. There's a high
All
intensity
right,
game that
thank
people
you.
actually enjoy. I just couldn't come up with one off the top of my head.
That's all right.
Now, on the other hand, and we'll talk a little bit about this later, you can get this thing with 32 gigs of RAM,
Yeah.
an NVIDIA GeForce GTX 980M, a GPU with 4 gigabytes of RAM, a Core i7 processor. You can get good specs out of this thing, but that's $4,200. So you're
Yeah.
literally looking at
But it,
like well over
but
$5,000.
again, if you're a designer, you make your living on this and you want some
Exactly.
horsepower, you know? So, you know, it's just
Oh.
interesting how both, and we've talked about this, how both brands are going to be, you know, have gone up market.
Yeah, and it does come with a pencil, like a
Yep.
stylus. So the
They
you,
actually include, and they actually include one, do they?
yes,
Excellent.
I'm confident that they do.
Yes, they
So
do.
U.S. release date is December 15th. They're taking pre-orders until December 1st, at the very least. We don't know yet official Canadian pricing or availability, but I suspect they're going to try and get some hype up in the U.S. and that Canada will follow shortly after. So it looks really, really cool. And like I said, you really got to watch the video to appreciate it. Now, what about the laptop, Stuart?
The laptop. Well, you know, Microsoft did announce they're going to have a brand new Surface Book laptop running an i7. Now, this laptop, when it first came out, it was gorgeous. The original one they came out with. This one kind of covers off a lot of things I wish I could see in a Mac Air. Namely, the most important thing, and this is an i7, but it has a detachable 13.5 pixel sense display and a dynamic fulcrum hinge. It allows the screen to balance on any angle. So it's kind of similar to the original Surface Book. So it's actually a laptop. But what's nice is you flip this thing around, and you can then use it as a tablet. So and again, lots of power. High price to go with that power. Apparently, 3,100 at the Canadian Microsoft website for a 256 gig model. And they'll come with 512 and 1 terabyte as well, up to $4,300. But it's got USB 3. You know, again, gorgeous looking machine. You know, again, if I'm one that wants the performance, the power, stuff like this, if someone's looking, unless they're doing something specific that they need one of the new MacBooks for, this is something to seriously think, you know, think about. It's
If
expensive, though.
you're happy with Windows 10 and you want some really, really good innovative hardware,
Yep.
crazy enough as it is, Microsoft is the place to look. Now, I will say, I did come across the HP Spectre, oh, X620 or something like that. And according to Ars Technica, I want to say, it's probably the best overall Windows laptop release this year.
There is some amazing things coming out now that you know, Microsoft's doing their thing. And you know what? Windows 10, as much as a lot of people say, it's not that bad. You can do a lot of customization. The first thing I would do is make it look like Windows 7 if I had a Windows 10 machine here. That's just me. But again, you can do a. But there's a lot of different hardware out, and it's very good. Like I'm using Office 365 now.
Can I make it look like Windows 2000?
That would be cool.
Because that's
Probably.
still my favorite.
You probably could.
If I
You
could make it look
probably
like Windows 2000, a lot of my complaints would go away.
Okay, but then we'd have to reduce the screen size from
No, no, no,
24
no,
by
no.
768.
No. Hey, whoa. I had one
Ah,
running at
okay.
1280 by 1024. Thank you very much.
All right, there you go. But no, there is, you know what? There's some amazing hardware out there, and we're going to touch on another one after the Apple news. But yeah, more and more, and you know, again, I was going to mention this after we talk about Apple. More and more, it's, you know, there's not one's really better than the other. Microsoft's really doing some innovative things now. One thing I would want to try with any of these Windows pardon me, Windows laptops is I want to see how if they've improved the sleep. Because when I close the lid on my MacBook and then I open it up again, it just works.
I have no problems whatsoever with sleep mode on my 3-year-old HP laptop upstairs running Windows 10.
Well, and that's the thing. I haven't run a laptop with Windows 10 yet, so I'm hoping that's finally been done. Because Windows 7, I run a Windows 7 laptop at work, and it's terrible. It's slow. It's whatever. That to me is a big showstopper. If I wanted to switch back.
Well, you're in IT. Why won't they let you upgrade it to Windows 10? I'll say update.
I'm in a big corporate. Because I'm in a big corporate world, and you know, we're always, you know, I think I already mentioned this one's got 8 gig of RAM, but right now I'm only running 32-bit Windows 7. So I'm working on getting 64-bit on. Yeah. So I'm working on getting the 64, but in the corporate world, these things move slowly.
London Life, as a former Freedom 55 financial advisor, I demand you let Stuart do whatever he wants with his laptop.
All right, we'll see how far that goes. Wait a minute, I can hear it. Derek who?
Yeah. How long was he with us? A year? Oh, yeah. Forget that guy.
Yeah, forget it. No, they are working on some things. So
that's fine.
No, hopefully one day. But yeah, but no, this is a nice looking machine. I'm looking forward to. I'm hoping that both these newer machines we're going to be able to see them in London. You know, I don't know, at a Best Buy or somewhere. Because I really want to get hands on both of them.
Best Buy should have them. They should have them.
Yeah,
soon.
They'll probably have it. Okay, let's move on. Next day, actually, Apple held their event. Their long rumored. The world's open largest secret featuring their MacBooks. They also covered a TV app for those using Apple TV. It's kind of like, you know, it's really tough to explain, but it's, and again, we don't know if we're going to see it in Canada, but it's kind of a way they're trying to bring all your various TV apps together, like single sign-in, stuff like that. Again, I don't have a newer Mac or Apple TV yet. I want one. So, you know, a lot of people I've heard there seem to be underwhelmed, the people that know this stuff. So
yep.
We'll see what happens there.
I will say the level of snark at Olio was quite high while we were watching the event.
It was quite high. Okay.
Very high.
That's good to know. Okay. They also released a brand new MacBook, as expected, a MacBook Pro with an OLED little screen. They call it Touch Bar. There seems to be a lot of, whether it's gimmick or makes sense or whatnot. The first side of me says, just like the wheel we just talked about, any alternative way to input stuff may be welcomed by some people. Some people may think it's the best thing since sliced bread. Other people are going to snark at it. I've heard a lot about, oh, gee, look, it could display 20 emojis at once.
Yay!
Big thing is they've definitely made it thinner, lighter. 13 and 15 inch models, gone up to an i7. You know, you can really kick this thing up. Big thing is the price. Price, again, is fairly high for this. The other thing they did was they basically said they're not going to be produced. They quietly dropped the MacBook Air, the 11 inch. Mm-hmm. So the cheapest model now is a MacBook Air in 13, which is still going to cost you over $1,000 Canadian. Then you move up to what they call their MacBook, and they now have a 12 and a 13 inch model. They call it the MacBook Pro, but it's a 13 inch model without the OLED screen, the budget choice.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, nothing really revolutionary. I want to try the MacBook Pro just for the keyboard. Apparently they've made some changes to the butterfly keys. I know when the original MacBook came out, they went with a whole new key system for the keyboard. And I, like many others, I wasn't that impressed with it. I just found I was mistyping a lot, you know, for the brief time I was playing with it.
Yeah.
And that's one thing, again, I like about the Air, my old MacBook, is the keyboard. It was a nice feel to it or not. So, again, it'll be interesting to see. Nothing from the iMac or the Mac Pro, because apparently there's rumors they're waiting for Intel to release the new Pro processors,
yeah,
which won't be until January. They also have, as an aside, LG built a 5K display specifically for this MacBook Pro. Big bucks. 5K display, $1,200. That was US. What's kind of cool about this, because the MacBook Pro now has, it has four USB-C ports, and you can charge the machine from any of them.
No, it has four Thunderbolt 3 ports.
Sorry, Thunderbolt 3. I know I did that. I knew I was going to do that.
That's okay. Well, the thing is that it does... The difference between USB-C and Thunderbolt is that Thunderbolt 3 ports accept USB-C connections. However, USB-C ports do not accept Thunderbolt 3 connections.
Yeah, exactly. So I knew I was going to do that.
I will say that was incredibly smart on Apple's part. If we're going to, let's pick a goddamn port and let's stick with it for at least a few years.
And they still haven't done that because with the you get two USB-C ports. But anyway, this display is kind of cool because you can actually charge the laptop using the cable from the display, one cable. So at the demo, they actually had two displays, and there was one single cable going to the laptop, providing power and everything else. The display was your hub for everything else. That is cool. That, again, falls into what I'd like to see for an ideal thing. You have your laptop, you put it, it's like a docking station, a single cable, everything else, all the other horsepower and whatnot at your desktop. Not really much else. Again, that was the main stuff there. Is there anything that caught your eye or anything else there?
A few things. So I will say macOS 10.12.1 came out recently, and it's much better now. All those little nagging bugs seem to be gone. So thank you, Apple. Touch ID on the MacBook Pro... Other than for making, so if you have an iTunes account and you're going to be buying things on iTunes or the Mac App Store, this is fine because it makes it super quick to authenticate yourself. What I'm just realizing now and I find incredibly odd is that typically on an iPhone, you use your thumb for the Touch ID, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you're not going to stick your thumb so incredibly awkwardly on
you're gonna use your finger.
So does that mean they're going to have two of your? Well, no, I guess it's stored on a secure enclave on your phone, right?
And it stores up to five or six, I believe.
Oh.
Yeah, because that's when I was using an iPhone 6 for a while. So I think you could have five. So I basically had both my thumbs and I did my fingers as well.
Okay.
So that's probably how they'll do it.
Fair enough. All right, never mind. Yeah. I will retract that rant I was just about to have. Pardon me. The new displays look nice. They're 5K displays, just like the Apple iMac is. Which is cool. Yes, works really good as a docking station. That's nice. Daisy chaining is cool. MacBook Air getting sidelined and, basically you're not having an option below $1,000 anymore. At least not a good option below $1,000 is kind of disappointing. The Apple TV app, as a Canadian, I couldn't care less because every single app that they showed off in there or service they showed off was things like Showtime, can't get it here. HBO Go, can't get it here unless I pay for TMN or HBO Now. It's TMN Go, actually. So can't get it here. Hulu, can't get it here. What else? CBS All Access. Actually, you can get that here. Never mind.
It underlines the same problem we've had all along.
Yeah.
We've got, depending what country or region you're in, you're getting a different suite of services, which is a real shame because, again, I still maintain people will buy this stuff just like people got on Netflix and that. That's one of the reasons I got Apple TV was for Netflix.
Yes. So two more things then. One, that really underlines the fact that a lot of these companies, especially Apple, when they're talking about media, make it a very US-centric presentation. And that is incredibly frustrating because as much as the US has 330 million people and probably still accounts for the majority of their sales, barely, but the majority of their sales overall, you need to talk about what this thing's going to look like elsewhere. I don't care about Hulu and Showtime and HBO Go if I can't get them. So what does this look like in Canada? What does this look like in the UK? What does it look like in South Africa, Australia? Even if you only did other English-speaking countries, that would be a step way ahead and above of what they do right now. And The other massively disappointing thing was that it didn't look like Netflix was included at all in this single sign-on, you know, here's all the things you've been watching TV app, which makes it a complete non-starter for me right away.
Exactly, yeah. Because there's basically two things we use on the Apple TV now. You know, one is Netflix and one's Plex. We also watch a lot of YouTube.
Right.
I want a newer Apple TV just so I don't have to hack, because now Plex is an app on the newer one.
Yeah.
I don't actually have to hack the old Apple TV and I lose some functionality because I do that. But yeah, exactly. So until we get, you know, they need to, you know, and I can understand why, because Wakanda is essentially California. It's a state for them,
yeah,
in terms of population. But yeah, they have to start realizing. And it's, I think part of it's also the rights holders. It's the same old story. But
no, I know all that. But like, can you give me a clue of what you guys are working on then? Like, what is this going to look like in Canada? Because right now, it looks to me like I'm not going to bother. I'm going to stick with Roku, or I'll get a new Roku 4 and get a lot of the same voice search features and that sort of thing that I can get with the Apple TV, but I don't have to worry about Apple's BS.
And here's another example. I'm just looking at the Apple TV site for Canada. They still mention, you know, iTunes Movies, Netflix, Crave TV, and Show Me. Well, Show Me's shutting down. Like, you know, we're losing services.
Yeah.
So it's something we definitely have to look at. Okay.
Two last quick things.
Anything else before we move on? Yep. Go ahead.
The USB-C ports or the Touch Bar, the Thunderbolt ports, it is smart. It's going to necessitate more dongle purchasing, unfortunately.
Bingo.
Because people have display ports, they have HDMI. I have, right now, on this MacBook Pro, I got an HDMI port, two USB 2.0 ports, two Thunderbolt ports, and then the power port. So, an SD card slot. SD card slot. The SD.
But Derek, it comes with a headphone jack.
Yes, that's I was going to say. But the saving grace is that it comes with a headphone jack. Yeah.
You know,
iPhone. Oh, wait, it's the same company.
I know. I'm of two minds of that with, you know, I like the idea of them trying to standardize. And yeah, it's a bit of a pain to have to buy dongles. I just wish Apple and these companies wouldn't try and make the dongles a profit center.
That would be
the big thing, because, you know, there's some people, like I'm looking at my MacBook here across at my desk, and I've got one for VGA. I've got, what else do I have? I have a couple of USBs.
I have one for Thunderbolt to DVI or VGA at work. I got two of them.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of annoying.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting to see. But part of me kind of likes that, because you customize just for what you want. So again, if I had one of these and at my desk here, I'd have just what I need here. If I have something else at an office or somewhere else I'm working, I'd keep those ones wired. And so I think it's the way it's going. You know, one day I'd love to see wireless everywhere, but that's going to be a while. The other big thing is we should point out is, they got rid of the MagSafe adapter. So some people don't like that idea. It'll be easier potentially to accidentally kick your laptop, drag your laptop off.
Well, Belkin's already unveiled a small dongle, a small adapter for exactly that.
They're already ahead of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So
that'll be good, because I tell you, the MagSafe adapter has saved this laptop at least twice. Another time it didn't, because I had dragged it by another cable, but it still kept going. But that's a whole other story. I think I posted that in the blog a few years ago. But it's still going strong. The 8 gig of RAM, my God, what a difference. I tell you, I've had to use it for a good week now.
So, Stuart.
Makes quite a difference. Yes, sir.
Stuart, where's your iPhone 7 Plus?
My iPhone 7 Plus, I knew you were going to get me going. What a nice segue there. So we have a story from the CBC. It's more talk about iPhone Apple share stumble, but it does mention in here, unlike last time, Apple kind of screwed up their projections. A lot more people, including yours truly and his wife, ordered iPhone 7 Pluses.
You don't say. Tell me more.
Tell you more. And not a lot of people ordered as many 7s, which is the exact opposite of last time. So because of that, now, in fairness, I didn't order on opening day for a myriad of reasons I won't get into here. But I'm now being told by Rogers, it could probably be the third week of November. Now, there are sites out there which you can track stock from Apple stores. And if you look at most places, you cannot find an iPhone 7 Plus for love nor money anywhere. Period. No,
you literally can't buy it.
Right. If you want an iPhone 7, no problem. Walk right in. There you go. So, yeah, Apple's obviously, they're trying to do as much as they can. The big concern, too, is they're going to miss the Christmas rush. And, you know, there's a lot of people, that new Google Pixel phone is awfully nice.
Mm-hmm.
I can see a lot of people deciding they're not going to wait and switch to that. So, that kind of explains that.
Yeah, in fairness, Google does seem to have vastly underestimated the demand for the Google Pixel as well. I did see a story a few days ago.
That's all of us waiting for the 7 Plus. That's all people waiting for the 7 Plus.
Yeah, yeah. So, but what they're doing, though, so here's the difference, really. Two companies both having supply issues. One makes you wait. The other one not only emails you, apologizes for the wait, and then offers you $50 in credits to their app and media marketplace. Why don't you tell me which one you think is which?
Well, exactly, because I certainly can't see it being either Rogers or Apple on my side.
No, it's not. So Google is actually emailing people and saying, hey, A, sorry, so sorry, it's taking so long. B, in some cases, it's now finally on the way. And C, we're so sorry for your wait. Here's $50 worth of Google Play Store credits to use on whatever. You can go buy a bunch of albums. You can rent some movies, buy some movies, buy some games. I would assume no cost to the developers of those games or content creators. So people, they're literally handing out free money because you're waiting so long.
Yep. And again, this just shows you how even a company, you know, like Apple, you've got to keep thinking ahead of the curve.
I thought Tim Cook was like the supply chain man. Like he was the
dude. I'm not sure. I can just imagine there's a lot of, oh, you know what? Oh, crap emails going on because, yeah, I, you know what? Because myself, I was, when I ordered this thing, I'm thinking, oh, I'll get it before the 7 because most people are ordering the 7.
Right.
You know, based on the last time because people didn't want it. But I think there's two reasons. You got the two-lens camera, which is pretty amazing. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people are realizing a slightly bigger phone isn't that big a deal. Their friends have had it and stuff like that. They've had a chance to play with it. And they don't think it's probably not that big a deal now. I know my wife, for example, I never thought she'd want a really large phone, but she does now. After seeing some of it, we went down to the store and had a look at the 6 Pluses and stuff like that. I said, it'll be a similar size. And yeah, she surprised me with that, which is good because she has to wait the same as me because otherwise she would have had hers already and be mocking me. So, you know, there's one good thing there.
Yeah.
And if you're listening, dear, I love you. All right. Let's keep going then. Enough disappointing Apple stuff. What's our next story?
Did you ever get into Vine?
Not really.
Okay,
no. I remember the kids using it, and there were some cute ones.
Yeah, so like I've seen many very funny vines, thanks to Twitter, right? People retweet them.
I did have
the Vine app for a couple of days, maybe it was probably a couple of weeks before I gave up on it. I didn't see the lasting power. So frankly, Vine has lasted much longer than I thought it would. However, on Thursday, right before the Apple event, sneaky, Twitter announced that they were killing off Vine and that it would disappear, the app would disappear and stop working in the coming months. Now, apparently, Pornhub is offering to buy it. I don't know if that's actually legit or not. Because apparently 6 seconds is more than enough.
More than enough. I know. There was like, the joke was just there before we even had to think about it.
Which makes me wonder whether it's actually real or not. But apparently there are rumblings of interest of companies who are like, no. We like Vine. We can make this work. I know BleacherReport.com used it a lot for sports highlights, like NBA highlights and stuff like that.
Yep.
And frankly, for A highlight of a slam dunk or a three-point shot. Yeah, 6 seconds is way more than enough. So it actually works really well. I've seen the NFL use it as well. So no doubt some of those actual media type companies will be disappointed to see it go. But you can do 6 seconds of video on Twitter natively now just fine.
Yeah, and the thing is, Twitter's got a lot of they got a lot more to worry about, because we should also point out that they're laying off 9% of their workforce.
And
You know,
honestly,
so.
and this comes right on the heels of apparently Disney still or becoming reinterested in acquiring Twitter. So a big part of me thought immediately, oh, I wonder if, okay, so Tuesday I heard Disney's interested again. Thursday they lay off 9% of their staff, or they begin laying off 9% of the staff, and they shut off and they're discontinuing Vine. Is this all in prep still for a sale? But if they don't get
Well,
the sale, it's still a good way to slim down and potentially become profitable in a quarter or two. Like
yeah, I can't
that's
see
what
them
I started
becoming
going
profitable.
to.
Yeah, I can't see them becoming profitable anytime soon.
Thursday they also announced earnings were up. Earnings were up. They were actually pretty close to decently close to profitability. I think a hundred and some million dollars away.
Yeah, this might bring them just over, but the thing is, again, they're obviously setting too high a price to sell themselves.
Well, and
If
that
you
could
have a
be on
lot of companies
purpose.
that are
Like
interested.
Jack Dorsey, CEO, also CEO of Square, does not want to sell. The board
No.
wants to sell. So he might be doing that on purpose. However, or the board might be doing it to see how much money they can get back out, because they did take a lot of VC funding early on. However, they also announced
I
that,
think
hang on, they also announced active users was also up. I think 3 or 4%. So no, it's not a lot. It's not Facebook numbers, but it doesn't need to be Facebook numbers. It just needs to be a sustainable community of maybe 400 or 500 million people. And they get to 400 or 500 million monthly active users, they can make a ton of money, or at least
right,
they can make a sustainable business.
but they've got to make the community safer. They've got to make it more welcoming, because that's still a huge problem.
And apparently in the next few months they're going to be unveiling new tools to actually make that
Yeah, but
happen.
you know what? We've heard that before, though.
Yeah, I
You know,
know.
we've
And
heard that in the
I'm
past, and it'll be
yeah.
interesting to see,
And I'm
because
a
that's
32-year-old white guy. I don't get the sort of abuse that other people get.
No, I just find I'm using Twitter less and less,
Oh, I've actually
because
upped my
or
usage recently.
well I am, but I also used to follow a lot more broad-based people, but I'm just finding there's so much hate and so much vile that I'm having to really watch what I do, you know, or I get these random things. Like, I haven't made my account private, but you know, all it takes is someone to send something out. And yeah, it's unfortunate, and there's a lot of people being affected by it. So, you know, that's still more and more becoming a problem. You know, we'll see what happens. I really hope they do, because I like the service. I've met a lot of people through it, but I'm really starting to get worried about their future and what's going to happen, and are people going to move on, you know, to the next thing, whatever
Well,
that's.
what is the next thing though?
Well,
Like, what do
exactly.
you like? There's
We don't
nothing
know.
like Twitter. So
No, there
until
isn't.
something comes along that's like Twitter and immediately somehow gets the critical mass that it needs to be a legit, a legit competitor, Twitter has to keep going. There's too much going on Twitter right now for it to just die off.
Now, maybe we're looking at it the wrong way. Maybe it'll become a tool for a certain segment, just like Instagram's got, you know, I like to say the kids, but Instagram's got huge growth for a certain segment who use it
And
a certain
Snapchat.
way. And Snapchat. Twitter seems to be really becoming the tool that when you want news or information, breaking news, events, stuff like that, people tend to turn to that. There's a lot of people now that are using, Snapchat, Instagram, stuff like that for a more descriptive thing. Facebook seems to be more used, you know, close friends, family, the way to remember all your friends' birthdays. You know, maybe
Sync
there
up
is,
that
you know, sure.
calendar.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe, you know, maybe that's what its future is going to be. We're going to have different segments. Do we have to have the next great thing that everyone's on? Because in some ways, trying to get everyone onto one thing, that's really not practical, because we're all so different.
Yeah, that makes
All
sense.
right. And there's
we'll
my
see.
deep thought. There's my deep, deep thought of the day. Okay, moving on. Our next story, our good friends at the CRTC, they're going to review net neutrality in a Videotron music streaming case. Tell us what this is about, Derek.
Yeah, so the CRTC is heading to Gatineau, Quebec this week to have a hearing related around Videotron, which is owned by Quebec, or Videotron they didn't really launch a streaming service. In August 2015, they made some partnerships with some streaming services that allowed the data coming through those services to be zero rated, meaning if you listen to, for example, Spotify or Apple Music or something like that, it wouldn't count against your data cap. Now, as a consumer, you're thinking, oh my gosh, awesome, I'm going to go sign up for one of these. And that's the problem. It skews the competitive landscape in favor of the ones that bothered to put a deal in place with Videotron. And so that goes against the net neutrality principles and that sort of thing. And, of course, the streaming services left out in the cold don't like it either. They might not even, mm-hmm. even have been approached by Videotron in the first place. So the Public Interest Advocacy Center is complaining that this is discriminatory against other music streaming services that are still subject to data usage metering and therefore potentially fees. Bell and Telus, what? Are in favor
They're
of the practice.
Favor.
Of course. Yeah. Arguing it results in more choice. Please. Tell me, I'm going to sit here with my popcorn, and you're going to tell me how this results in more choice. Whatever.
Where's my cricket sound effect?
Yeah. Rogers, on the other hand, amazingly calls zero rating discriminatory, saying it limits competition by favoring certain content. No kidding. Way to go, Rogers. I'm pretty sure that goes against what you do with Fido, if I recall correctly, because you have a Spotify plan over there, but that's okay. We'll let that go for now. Open Media, of course, an advocacy group, is also involved in this fight, and they'll be there as well at the hearings. And we'll see what happens. We have a lot of data recently to show that mobile data usage is skyrocketing in Canada. The average household downloads 93 gigabytes monthly. That's pretty hefty, actually. And of course, the average household bill has reached over $215 a month when you include wired internet, wireless devices, and phone services. The largest increase was on phone services. And so now it's time to have a talk. And I will open up a discussion on the other part of this, where Open Media and a few other groups are saying, this means we need to have unlimited data caps on all mobile plans. And for once, I'm going to say, I disagree with Open Media and those other advocacy groups because I don't see it yet. I don't see the ability yet to go wide open all the time and let people go nuts, because that will actually really slow down these wireless networks.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Stuart?
Well, and I agree with you there, because it's basically the wireless network wasn't designed for that. It's not supposed to be your primary internet connection. It's supposed to be when you're mobile and on the go. And as David Watt, Rogers' senior vice president of regulatory affairs, says, how about that for a title? Removing data caps would mean everyone would have a $90 price plan. I have a feeling if they remove data caps, Rogers and other companies' price plan would go far beyond $90.
Yeah.
So yeah, I have to agree with you there.
I mean, like, there's wireless networks don't work that way. It's the wireless spectrum actually can get very, very congested quite easily. So it doesn't work that way, guys. Could you want to argue for double the data at the prices they're charging now? Go for it. Quadruple the data?
Yep.
Sure. No caps? No, I'm sorry. I wish. I wish the technology allowed for that and still then allowed for great bandwidth for all the other customers on the same tower as you. But unfortunately, wireless just doesn't work the same way wired connections do.
Yeah, exactly. So we're gonna keep an eye on that. Okay, moving on. A story from Bloomberg this week. In our nation's capital, actually. Did you know there was a regional Apple office in Ottawa?
I had no
idea.
I had
Well,
no
you know what
idea.
else is you know what else is in Kanata? About a 5-minute walk from there is QNX, which was BlackBerry bought. But apparently Apple's been taking some employees.
Why
and
not?
They're developing a car, rumored developing a car operating system.
Right by
so
QNX, just 4 or 5 hours away from BlackBerry. How dare they?
I tell you, it's terrible, terrible. But yeah, so their car operating system is a software core of a future Apple car platform.
Right, which seems to be their CarPlay now that Project Titan as a car, an actual car development project, seems to be drastically scaled back, all according to rumors and a bunch of layoffs at Apple.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't want to talk too much about this one personally, but I just thought it was really interesting and kind of funny that they'd just come in and be like, hey, you guys, you're working at a company that seems to be not doing so well. Do you want to come and work at a company that has $250 billion in the bank?
I wonder if they offered them free dongles.
Oh, I thought you were going to say free iPhones. I was going to say
no, free
yeah,
dongles.
Of course.
Yeah, you got to wait for them.
Free
dongles. You got to wait for them, but you know, they better not, because they better not jump in line ahead of me.
Yeah. Oh, they will, because they'll offer iPhone 7s. But you're so greedy with your iPhone 7 Plus desire.
I know, but I'm going to have awesome pictures, dude. At least that's what I hope.
You better right. For the wait.
I better for that. Exactly. Okay. I put this one here because Razer, they have a new Blade Stealth laptop. So again, we were talking before about there's a lot of different options here now. But what I saw with this is this actually has one of the things, and Jameson has long suffered, one of our co-hosts, of me ranting about, I would love a laptop and then be able to bring it home, plug it into a kick-ass graphics card and like game. Because that's one of those reasons I still have a desktop PC.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you can actually get this thing. Again, there's a base model. It's got some pretty good graphics. $1,599 is the middle. But you can also get a Razer Core external GPU enclosure. It's $500 by itself. It gets discounted $100 when you purchase it with a laptop. Razer adds support, seems to add support for the latest cards and stuff like that. So this is pretty cool. It's only available in the States right now through Razer's store. But it's the kind of thing if I was seriously ready to upgrade my Windows PC, it's something I would seriously consider because I don't need both a PC and a desktop and a laptop. I really would like just one.
Yeah.
And this would certainly do it, being able to, as we talk about the docking station, being able to bring it home, plug it in where I need the horsepower. There's some nice hardware here. So again, something to look at if you're looking.
4K displays, no matter what, even on the $999 US model, which is pretty impressive. My only quibble would be that it's only a 12.5-inch screen.
Right, but you can plug another screen in.
Well, yeah, but if I'm on the go, I'm not going to, right? So
yeah, but again, if I'm on the go, that's portability. But when I bring it home, that's when I have, you know, the two 5K 38-inch monitors or something. I don't know.
I'm just not sure. The Windows laptop upstairs is a 17-inch widescreen. It's huge. Yeah. It's got a full number pad and everything. The MacBook Pro is 15-inch. I'm not sure I could go smaller than 15-inch anymore.
I'm using a 13, and I'm pretty happy. And I used a 13-inch Air for what I had to do when I was on the go. That was fine.
Yeah.
And again, it really varies on people. Because again, I want the lighter weight.
Yeah.
I don't want to haul around that because, you know, even when I was, you know, between when I had a 13-inch laptop, I had a big screen at our attraction. I had a big screen at home.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, it was very easy to plug into. So it's just something, you know, more and more. So I hope to see more of these sort of enclosures because if this takes off more, then yeah, definitely there's less of a reason to look at a Mac again for a laptop, especially with Windows 10. It brings another thing into play. Right now, I've got this gaming machine. It's a couple of years old. It's an old Dell, but it runs very well. It's got a good card on it.
For the price you're going to pay, this is actually really good. This is really good.
And if you consider it's you're replacing two systems potentially.
Yeah, yeah. No, this looks impressive. Yeah. Windows 10. Like $999 US gets you 128 gigs of storage, 4K display, Windows 10, like I said, everything else you've mentioned earlier with, you know, a good GPU and all that, good CPU.
You bring it home, you plug it in, you know, it's on, you've got network storage at home and stuff like that. Because these days, especially with stuff in the cloud and that, you know, you don't need as much. Like I was looking the other day, because I've been moving around some of my cloud storage, and I'm looking at what I'm commonly using, which is up in the cloud, and it's not that much.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that much space. You know, my if I do photos, that's on the local machine. I don't need that in the cloud. So, yeah, more and more. It depends what you're doing. In terms of what I'm doing, this would more than meet my needs. So, something I'm gonna keep an eye on. All right, and for all this power, for all this hardware and tech, we're gonna need some power to power this, Derek. So, what's happening from our friends at Tesla?
Yeah, we don't have a ton of details yet. Oh, there's the pricing. So on Friday, I think. Yes, Friday evening, Elon Musk brought everybody out to the Universal Studios lot, where they set up a very pretty model neighborhood, essentially, where each one of four houses had a different roof. The special thing about these roofs was that they are all solar panels. The actual shingle-looking things covering your roof are very nicely designed solar panels beneath the veneer, let's say. So they had four different styles. One looks very very much like what we use in up here in Canada in terms of asphalt shingles or cedar shakes, that sort of thing. Then they had a Tuscan one and a glass slate look, which was actually really, really neat. And because as Musk was saying, Tesla's actual mission is renewable energy everywhere. So kind of like a closed loop where you take the power of the sun from your roof, charge up the next generation of the Powerwall 2 he also talked about. And so the Powerwall 2 is bringing in power during the day, powering your house, and then powering your house through the evening. Hopefully you never have to take any power from the grid. Potentially, you could even sell some back if you have a couple of power walls. You're not using as much power as you have. And then, of course, feed that power into your house and your Tesla electric vehicle. So those are really, really cool. I don't see pricing here for the roof, but he did say that it was less to replace the roof than it was to put on asphalt shingles, for instance, or cedar shakes, and pay for electricity. So,
interesting.
You know, if you look at the long term total cost of ownership, it should make sense from that perspective. That makes sense. That's fine. But also the Powerwall 2, they're going to have 14 kilowatt hours of storage and 5 kilowatts of continuous power at $5,500 US. You could also stack those on the wall and just keep adding capacity, of course. 14 kilowatt hours, stretching it, you know, like maybe a nice spring or fall day, could power your whole house for a day, a 3 or 4 bedroom house. I will give him that. But in Canada in the summer, or even California in the summer, you're using more like 30 kilowatt hours a day. So, it, you know, 14 is stretching it, depending on the time of year. He also unveiled a new version of the power stack, or power pack, sorry, for industrial use. Talked about how they'd won a couple of big installations in Hawaii and California. California is going to have, I think it's SoCal Power. It's going to have an 80 megawatt installation of the power packs, which was pretty impressive. Mm-hmm. And, so Southern California Edison and the Kauai Island Utility Co-op are both deploying power packs. and just, you know, once again, kicking us in the pants, kicking us forward into the vision Elon sees for Earth and then eventually for Mars. So it was just really nice to see everything as like a cohesive system. It's like, okay, now here's where the Solar City acquisition, which is being voted on November 17th, here's where that comes in, and here's where it comes in with the vehicles and all that.
Well, you know, and I look at these pictures, and you know, you can't even tell they're solar panels.
No, you can't.
They look like house cells. Yeah.
At certain angles, they go a little bit more transparent or translucent, and you can actually see through to the solar panels beneath, but to the photovoltaics. But generally from the street, yeah, they look really, really nice. So kudos from a design perspective, and certainly, you know, showing people why Tesla and Solar City, according to Elon Musk, need to be one company. And, you know, I'm certain trying to get his way on November 17th without directly pressuring people to vote in favor of the acquisition.
All right. We're going to move on to a story. Because again, I think it's in my contract. I don't do consoles. Nintendo unveiled a new next generation console called the Switch. I'm going to turn this to you because I just know it's a name.
So the news is a little over a week old, but we didn't talk about it last week. Yeah. I don't know how we skipped it last week, but we didn't talk about it. And then we almost didn't talk about it today. So I'm fixing that because I think this looks really, really cool. The Nintendo Switch, it's been rumored already that it's going to be hybrid, portable, at home. That's exactly what's happening. Essentially, and you can watch the video, their teaser trailer video, to get a really good sense of how the system's going to work. But essentially, picture yourself sitting at home playing a video game with a fairly standard looking controller, and you decide, you know what, I want to hang out outside on my deck, but I'm really into this game. So why pick? You don't have to pick anymore. Nintendo wants you to slide off the actual controls, like the buttons and the joysticks, off of the controller you were just using. You slide them down onto what looks to be a 6.2-inch display instead. Push them down, lift the console up out of its docking station, and you walk around wherever you want to go. Essentially, this is a apparently fairly highly powered portable, you know, video game console that also happens to dock at home and then throw up the video up on your TV, whatever the TV happens to be. Mm-hmm. It's actually supposed to be the best of both worlds. And frankly, I think they're pretty close to hitting it. The trailer also shows off each side of the controller can actually be an independent Switch controller, or what they're called, a Joy controller. So similar to the Wii, if you had one or you've ever seen one, you could turn the Wii remote horizontally and use it like a classic Nintendo controller. Same idea here. In vertical mode, essentially attached to the console or attached to the Joy-Con dock thing, the controller. It's two sides of the same controller. You slip them off, you hand one to a friend, and you each have a controller now without having to buy an extra controller. That was really, really cool, and certainly a departure from what you see with Microsoft and Sony, where they throw in one controller into the bundle and you got to buy more for like $70. Very much a focus on social interaction, getting together with friends to play. The Switch console appears to connect wirelessly to each other using some sort of personal area network type connection, whether it's Wi-Fi direct or Bluetooth or something proprietary, we don't know. But they also show off 8 people, 4 on each team, bringing their own Switch console to an esports event where they're going to play Splatoon, which is a highly acclaimed game for the Wii U. So obviously it looks like there's going to be a version for the Nintendo Switch. And they all play on their own console, but they're playing together in the same game. So that's really cool because it eliminates, how do we set up this LAN game, this LAN party? Like, who's going to have the server? Who's going to have that? Like, there's a game for Xbox called Ark, where you capture dinosaurs and train them and use them to capture other dinosaurs. And somebody's Xbox actually has to be the server. which is the weirdest setup I've ever heard. But you literally, somebody actually literally has to have a second Xbox to act as a server for this game, which is ridiculous. Nintendo's obviously not going in that direction. So I highly recommend you check out the video. What we've found out since then is that on January 12th, they're going to, the Japanese and American arms of the company are going to make announcements via Twitter, the Japanese and American arms of the company made announcements via Twitter that on January 12th, we will find out how much it's going to cost, what games are going to be available at launch, where it'll be available and when, and that sort of thing. All those juicy details we're still waiting on. Some reports recently, I alluded to this earlier, is that the screen, it's 6.2 inches, definitely widescreen, 720p resolution, and multi-touch, which would make sense because, man, if you're gonna give me something this pretty where I can play my games on, it should be a multi-touch display. So it might not be, you know, retina quality, but at 720p, 6.2 inches, 720p is good enough, I think. So,
yeah, I think so.
You know, what we don't know is how powerful is it. We know it's an NVIDIA Tegra, a custom NVIDIA Tegra system on the chip with GPU, CPU, etc. So if you played with an NVIDIA Shield and you liked it, this should be the architecture is similar, I will say. Obviously, the games are going to be completely different. There could also be an IR pointer. You know, we don't know. We're going to find out more on January 12th. But I personally am really excited.
There you go. Perfect. Okay, that's most of our stories. Now we're going to pause for a word from our sponsor. And Derek's going to do the ad live.
I am.
Go for it.
So, we all know I work at Olio Digital Labs. I love working at Olio Digital Labs. It's a fantastic work environment. It's a great web development team. The managing partner is a dream to work with. He's way different than my last boss, who was not so great to work for. So, we'll leave that at that before I get sued. but in terms of what we are up to lately, we're just beginning to plan our holiday party. We know it's late. That's okay. We don't do, you know, conventional stuff with such a small team of seven people. We're also wrapping up a few big projects as existing clients are throwing more work at us, which we are happy about, and still trying to close those two deals that I've been working on for, an eternity now. One has legal wranglings over like terms of service and privacy policies and stuff like that happening at head office. And, you know, I'm not at this point overly concerned about those things, but it sounds like they want to get those hammered out before they sign on the dotted line and cut us a check. I can understand why, you know, those departments would want to do that. But of course, the product people and myself are like, let's go. We need to get this done. Please sign or like, you know, approve so we can sign and give this to Derek and he can get going. So we play the waiting game. Otherwise, we are actually still pretty busy. We do have new projects starting soon as well, one of which is going to be really cool. So it's going to allow us to incorporate some really neat QR code or barcode type scanning to help drastically cut down on the amount of paperwork done with in and out tracking, time tracking on various jobs for their clients, that sort of thing. It's not something we'll use internally. It's something for a client. That's going to be really, really cool. I also have a new lead in the hopper for another mobile app, which is nice, that could potentially use NFC on Android devices for in-out privileges somewhere. I won't say any more than that, just in case.
Okay.
But that's. I've started doing some wireframes there and trying to price out exactly, you know, what we can do. I'm waiting for one of their existing partners to give me some API documentation so we know, you know, what it'll take to actually work with that system. But yeah, that's sounding really exciting. So we'll see where that leads. And so things are still busy. You know, we've definitely got work to do, and hopefully more work coming down the pipe that I'll be able to share. Oh, hopefully we can use this soon. One of our clients produced a really neat animated video as like a promo, like a trailer for the app that we've been developing for them. So that was really, really neat to see. Hopefully we'll include that as part of the app, the actual app profile, like in the App Store. If we do, then I'll actually make it, you know, public and everybody else can see it.
So, awesome. Yeah. Cool.
So that's what's been going on at Olio. Oh, okay. So if you need web development or mobile app development help, please give us a call at 226-785-0420, or you can email me directly, Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at oliodigitallabs.com, Olio spelled O-L-I-O, digitallabs.com, or heck, hit us up on Twitter or Facebook, Olio Digital Labs on both.
Exactly. Okay. And as always, we thank them for their support. All right. Our local story. Our good friends and my former employer at the London Roundhouse, they're hosting this year's Extra Life event next week, November 5th. It's a 24-hour gaming marathon. It's in support of the Children's Health Foundation as part of the Children's Medical Network Hospitals. I know a couple of years ago I helped with one of these, and it's pretty cool because there's some people that bring in some serious gaming rigs. One guy is a big flight sim buff. He brought in his computer, you know, the throttle, the whole thing, and he basically flew an XB-70 around the world in real time.
Oh, wow.
On flight sim. You know, just something like that. But there's other people doing different things. And it's always for a good cause. So kudos to Ellipsis Digital and Engine 7.4 who are partnering with Project Play for this. We'll have some links on how you can support it or if you want to sign up. And that, I believe, is our local story this week. Okay, stuff we like. Actually, I previously mentioned that Blade Stealth laptop. I wish I had some money. I would seriously look at that. That is a cool idea. Getting into a docking station sort of model. So I like that. And what's yours, Derek?
I'm going to go with the Nintendo Switch. It's not so much like, oh, I get to play another Mario game. It's more the concept. Like, it'd be really cool to be able to take the same system on a plane, in a car, on a train, on vacation. Well, maybe not on vacation, but like, you know, out back to the deck, and I don't have to worry about like lugging a TV with me or even lugging power with me. Like, it's self-contained, but it's console quality games, which is you can get on tablets, but you don't get a controller. And frankly, you know, trying to play like a lot of the on-screen controls, you can't. I find I have trouble controlling them without looking at the set of controls that I'm supposed to interact with. But you don't have to do that with a hardware controller. You learn instinctively which buttons to hit and which ones you need and all that. And I still find it much easier to game with a hardware controller in my hand. So,
right.
Yeah. So I'm still excited about it.
Excellent. Okay. What are we up to lately? It's been a busy week at work, week after the DRP. I've been still working on my local modeling club sites, trying to get them finished, some albums put up, stuff like that. It was just kind of a fast week. As usual, looks like you actually did a lot more than I did.
Well, so you asked me about the Portuguese hosting brand. I did finish translating a few more pages recently. The Carreiras, which means careers. And the Quem Somos page, which is like about us, the about page. So I got those, translated recently. So those are in the wind. I started the Couch to 10K program yesterday. I was at the gym at Fit for Less and I was like, you know what? I really need to get back into running. I need something to like keep me on track and keep me increasing my stamina and all that. In a more methodical way than, oh man, I really need to stop now and then walk for 2 minutes and like pick it up again.
Yeah.
So
right.
My wife's been doing Couch to 5K. She actually ran a 5K last weekend. Go honey. And so I thought, you know what? I've run a 5K before, so I'm going to download the Couch to 10K. So I did that. Started doing that last night, trying to get back into the fitness regime I started before my vacation to Portugal, because since I've come back, I've been really lax on that. Mm-hmm. And otherwise, just watching lots of hockey, soccer, and American football right now. The Blackhawks won today 3-0. Toronto FC beat New York City FC 2-0 today in a playoff game. My New Orleans Saints came back to beat the Seattle Seahawks 25-20. That was fantastic, because when I stopped watching that game, they were losing. And sports. It's been a good sports week. My favorite Portuguese soccer team, Benfica, won on Friday 3-0. So, yeah, it's been a great sports weekend.
Well, I look at it this way: Chelsea beat Southampton, so that was good. The Cubs are in the World Series.
Yeah, but it looks like they're going to lose.
Yeah, well, at least they got there. Toronto True. FC is one, and they're in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that means there's hope yet for my Leafs.
Maybe.
Miracles have happened.
By the way, top of the seventh, and the Cubs are beating the Indians 3-2 right now.
Oh, there you go. So that's good for them. So, all right. So that was a good show. We had a lot of good stuff happening. So don't forget to review us. iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever else you get your podcasts. Retweet us when you hear about new episodes on Twitter. Share them on Facebook. We also have a page on Facebook. Don't forget to like us. And send us an email at contact@canadianpodcast.ca if you have any information or stories. So I think that's it for episode 92 for Sunday, October the 30th, 2016. My name is Stuart Clark.
And my name is Derek Silva.
Happy Halloween, and thank you, and be well.